tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 13th of March 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, Friday the 13th is unlucky for some, but it is lucky for us, because we have Grandpa Dan with us today. Grandpa Dan, how are you doing, sir? How is life treating you?
I didn't even realize it was Friday the 13th. Just now I heard you say that, and line up, we should get our this bumps up the probability of getting us a false flag here in the U.S. maybe today, if not today, maybe in the next few days. But yeah, it's not a matter of if, we're waiting for when and what it's going to be. So gotta try to rally up some support here in the U.S. for the shenanigans they've got going on in the Middle East, too unpopular. So yeah, we're going to start like a roulette of false flags, see what we're going to get. Maybe it could be something entertaining, might even make a topic on our show in the future.
Wasn't it possibly going to be a drone strike on California? I mean, that's what they've been signaling to us it's going to be.
Yeah, they floated that one out there, but I think it kind of, everybody sort of laughed at it. So I think that one may not happen. So I definitely won't be attending any big events, I'll tell you that.
Do you think how would they go about doing that? They would need to have a battleship, surely, nearby to California from which to launch the drone. Surely they couldn't send a drone all the way from Iran all the way to America. I think it would run out of batteries by that point, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, the narrative was they were going to somehow sneak a ship over here of some sort and launch these drones out of it to strike America, give us another 9/11. And like I say, everybody kind of laughed at that one. So I don't think we're going to see that. But there's always the old tried and true, you know, set off a bomb and throw in some Allah Akbars in there and say Iran did it. So that's probably something more along the lines. Who knows? But we're going to get something. I would be willing. I would say the odds are better than 50-50 that we're going to see some kind of event, try to gin up, try to get the NPCs all stirred up. Gotta wave the flag and all of that. Cue up that Lee Greenwood song about God bless the USA and all that stuff.
Well, if it does happen, we will know that it is most likely to be a false flag, because that's what everyone is talking about. But that is not what we are going to be talking about today. Guess what we are going to be talking about today? Can you guess what we're going to be talking about today, Grandpa?
It's Friday and I'm here, and I'm going to go out on a limb. Are we transitioning to a different story here?
We are, but it's a slightly different transgender story to normal. This week we have a transgender neo-Nazi in Germany. And this article comes from GB News. It's headlined, German authorities pushing to get transgender neo-Nazi to be reclassified a man. A district council in Germany has launched what is believed to be the country's first legal action to overturn a gender self-identification registration. Officials in Salakris, located near the city of Halle, have petitioned a local court to reclassify the neo-Nazi Sven Liebig, 55, as male. The regional broadcaster MDE reported that authorities are seeking to reverse changes Liebig made to his official records under Germany's gender self-identification law. The council argues that Liebig, who adopted the name Marla Svenja, has been treating the legislation with contempt after using it to secure placement in a women's prison. Liebeck gained notoriety across Germany last year when it emerged he had registered himself as female, specifically to serve an 18-month prison term for hate crimes in a women's facility. So now we're finally seeing this openly being done. I mean, when I was in prison, there was a large number of transgender inmates. In fact, they even had little booklets there in Park Prison, created by the EU, sponsored by the EU, talking about transgenders in prison. There is a large number of transgenders in prison. One of the reasons, possibly, it is alleged, is because the men don't actually want to serve their prison sentence in a men's prison. And if they say they are female, they'll get put in a women's prison. Famously, we had that happen over here in Scotland with a rapist that was put in a women's prison, and Scotland changed the laws to force the prisons to accept male to female transgenders, but they walked it back a little bit on that one and didn't allow him in, which really goes against the wording of the law and the whole point of the law. I mean, if you can just say, self-declare that you are transgender and that makes you a woman, then you really can't turn that back the other way around, because you can prosecute people for dead naming you. I mean, I'm surprised this Sven Liebeck hasn't actually gone after the MDR for dead naming him and the newspapers for referring to him as Sven Liebeck when he now goes by the name of Marla Svenja. Well, this is certainly highlighting this problem here by him going to a female prison when he changes his name. Grandpa, this is the first time I think we've heard of a neo-Nazi transgender doing this. What do you make of it?
If this planet had an escape pod, I would get on it and launch, you know, somewhere else if it was possible. I think maybe you should have gone with that, Sven. Maybe you should have. Did you consider that idea before you went away, before you went to prison? Did you think maybe I could transition and go to a women's prison? You mean it might have been easier? And, you know, I mean, why not, I guess? It just, of course, you have these silly laws put into place. And obviously, this guy is making a mockery of the law, and rightfully so. But you know, it just looks so ridiculous, and yet they have to pretend that it's serious, you know, and it's like nobody, there are no adults in the room, you know, in the government going, yeah, this was a stupid law. Why did we put this in place? Let's get rid of it. You know? And so now they're trying to go against their own law and reclassify this guy instead of anybody admitting, that this is, you know, stupid. This is obviously a ridiculous, clownish law that should have never been put on the books, but we can't do that. And by the way, here, Germany is supposed to be the industrial powerhouse of Europe that is going to be totally ready to gin up the war machine and fight a war with Russia. And, you know, they can't even decide whether to send some dude to the men's prison or to the women's prison for quote unquote hate crimes. I have no idea what the guy actually did, but you know, anytime I see somebody's going to jail for hate crimes, I just assume that it's BS. So yeah, I mean, we're still supposed to act like this is a serious country? You know, I have a hard time taking any of the European countries seriously. You know, it's kind of like France recently announced, you know, they're going to join in with the U.S. and bringing democracy to Iran. And I just picture the whole rest of the world just laughing, going, yes, that's going to make it. That's going to make a difference. I how do you take any of this? How do you take any of these countries seriously?
Well, you do have to take claims to be transgender. You have to take them seriously according to the law. I mean, we have laws that say that in Britain, and I'm sure the laws in Germany are far worse than the ones that we have in Britain. And he's not just been claiming to be the opposite gender either. The 55-year-old attended court hearings wearing a leopard print dress, a wide-brimmed hat, and red lipstick applied beneath his moustache. And I did have a look to see if it was a Hitler moustache. Unfortunately, it wasn't. And I think he'd have some difficulty applying the lipstick above the moustache on his nose. I don't really see why they have to put it there. It's beneath his moustache. After participating in the legal proceedings, he absconded and remains at large. His provocations have continued while evading the authorities, with Liebig claiming to have applied for asylum in Russia, which I do find quite funny, because Russia is not really known for being pro-transgenderism or pro-homosexuality. He probably would have been better off applying for asylum in America. But at the same time, he has since attempted to change his registered name to Anne Frank and also his gender classification to miscellaneous. So he's also now transracial, and he's also identifying as Jewish, which I think is really highlighting this, especially if it gets mainstream coverage, that he's now calling himself Anne Frank, as well as claiming to have changed gender. And of course, the law is that you're not allowed to dead name these people, and you have to take their claims seriously, which is causing problems for this court, obviously, because they can see that he's just doing this to make a point of doing it, and it needs somebody to make a point of doing it. It reminds me of that shop teacher in Canada with the huge fake breasts, and the footage that was released of him teaching in his metalwork class with these huge breasts, and the school were unable to get him to stop doing it, basically, because of their transgender laws. And then it came out, one of his neighbours said that, well, he never wears that get-up when he's at home, when I see him walking the dog. And then there was photos released of him going skydiving, and I don't know whether he took the fake breasts off before he went skydiving. I should imagine it would be quite dangerous if he kept them on. But it reminds me of that. This seems designed just to highlight the ridiculousness of these laws. And I think he's also having a bit of fun there by referring to himself as Anne Frank. I think he's making a bit of a joke at the Jews' expense there, which, of course, they probably won't take too kindly to. But, he's really just going after all of modern society's shibboleths, isn't he? You're going after the transgender thing, the Holocaust thing, and even the Jewish thing while he's on the run. And he's certainly getting more attention than he would have done if he had just accepted this and gone to prison. What do you make of his other attempts here to gain media exposure, Grandpa?
I'll admit the Anne Frank thing was funny. When I read through the story, I was sitting there kind of rolling my eyes. But I will admit the wanting to change his name to Anne Frank, kudos, I give credit where due. That was funny. I don't know about the claiming asylum thing in Russia, because, you know, their whole thing with Ukraine is they're quote unquote denazifying Ukraine. So I don't know how much luck this guy thinks he's in. If that's a serious thing or not, I don't know how much luck he thinks he's going to have, you know, asking for asylum in Russia or not. But I guess good luck with that. And apparently he's on the run. So I wonder, you know, where's he at? Is he still in Germany? Is he just wandering around the EU in random places? That's, I guess the EU, you can just go from country to country there. So they don't apparently know where this guy is. He's a loose cannon. He's a loose cannon going about spreading hatred as Anne Frank or whatever. If he dresses like in the picture in the article, then he ought to be pretty easy to spot. But I'm going to assume he doesn't dress like that all of the time. I don't know. You know, these it's funny because these laws were passed back when this was the latest thing, you know, and it's like they need to just go ahead and roll it back and say, we're not doing that anymore. You know, because that was a big thing, you know, before you went away. We had all of the, you know, that was the big thing. They were pushing this trans thing all over the West. And it was, you know, you can't, like you say, you can't dead name. You can't say it's ridiculous, you know. And yet it's still kind of being drug on and it's passing. It's like a clothing fad. It becomes real big, you know, like if bell-bottom pants were the in style. And then like 5 years later, they're not the in style and you're still walking around in them. People looking at you like, why are you wearing bell-bottom pants? Why do you have a mullet haircut? Nobody wears the mullet anymore. You know, you're trying to just keep it alive. And it's like we're keeping the trans thing alive when it's not even in style anymore. I thought we moved on. It's like here in the U.S. where they're running midterm elections and you have these Republicans are like, you know, Joe America, he stands, no men in women's sports. And I'm thinking, are we even doing that anymore? That was the fad a couple years ago. I think we've moved on from doing that, but they're still running on it. It's still, it just drags on. It's like the people that don't know what the end thing is anymore it's not the end thing. So I don't know. You know, it's I don't know how you take these countries seriously. You know, you're supposed to be a world player. You know, a country like Germany is supposed to be a major player. They go forward. Merz goes out there and tries to make bold statements about Russia or the American-Iran conflict. And you're supposed to stand up there. You're supposed to look at this person. And you're supposed to say, this is a serious leader on the world stage. And you have a story like this. And it's like, this is a clown country. How do you even take them seriously? We're supposed to listen to what any of these people have to say. You just can't put your wig on and you know, get the heck off the stage. I don't. How are we supposed to take any of these countries seriously? You know, they want to be a world player. They want to pretend like they're relevant. And then you have stuff like this going on because you can't, you pass laws. They pass the law. This guy's making a mockery of it, but they're the ones that pass the law. Like, oh, this is a serious thing that deserves a law. Now the law is obviously, he's making a point that the law is just ridiculous and stupid, but they still can't admit, oh, yeah, that law was ridiculous and stupid. Let's get rid of it. So now they're trying to bend their own law to make it, I don't know, because he is making it, pointing out that it's ridiculous and stupid. How about just some grown-ups run the country and actually deal with issues? Because I'm pretty sure Germany has some more serious issues than where they send this guy to prison for hate crimes.
Well, it'd be transphobic to try and get rid of the law. I only say it's transphobic to deny that he is actually a woman when it's clearly a bloke, as it says there, with a moustache. And in America, they are actually taking asylum seekers from Germany. I know that there are asylum seekers from Germany in America on free speech issues, but I'm not sure they would go there on transgender issues. Now, when I was in prison, we did actually have somebody claiming to be transgender on our wing, and he looked like a bloke. In fact, I saw him in the queue for medication one day, and I said something to him, and there was this other person who looked slightly retarded by him, and he snapped out, "Can't you see it's a woman?" And I was like, "What? No, I couldn't see that it was a woman. It was quite clearly a bloke with stubble." And then the next day I saw him in the queue again, and he had like what looked like breasts, basically. And I found out that he'd stuffed a newspaper up under his T-shirt. And of course, the other lads on the wing that he was in, they would grab hold of them or they would pull the newspaper out. So he was trying to have them investigated for homophobia and transphobia. And apparently this guy, you know, he wasn't transgender at all until he actually got in the prison. And then all he decided to do was stuff some newspaper under his T-shirt and give himself a special status. And at the time he was on the neurodivergent wing, and he wasn't getting on with them. As I say, neurodivergent people can see it's a bloke with a bit of newspaper stuffed in its chest. So obviously, they were sort of poking fun at him, and he ended up being on our wing for a couple of weeks just before I left. So it is very prevalent in the prisons, and quite obvious that the people that are doing it don't actually live a life as a woman. They're doing it for some other purpose. We also had one that was a cleaner, and they had makeup on, and they had a wig on, and they had, I don't think they had a skirt on. And they were really butch, like big fists, ham-fisted fists with tattoos all up the forearms. It didn't make any attempt to speak in a higher-pitched voice. But the fact that they were wearing makeup and they did know how to put makeup on sort of implied that they did do this normally. And I think they were a traveller, one of the Irish travellers, or gypsy travellers, something like that. So it is very, very prevalent. But this is the first time, as I say, that I've heard of a neo-Nazi doing this. Getting back to the article here, overturning Liebig's gender registration presents significant legal obstacles for the Salacris authorities. The Halle District Court, which has yet to signal how it might rule, is required to allow Liebig to respond to the challenge, despite his current whereabouts being unknown. I do wonder if he just remains unknown, whether they will be able to proceed if he has to be able to respond to the challenge. The gender self-identification legislation contains provisions that make questioning an applicant's sincerity extremely difficult. While registry officers can reject applications in instances of obvious abuse, they must demonstrate objective and specific proof that an individual is cynically gaming the system. And this is deliberately so that they can let people that still look like a bloke into women's spaces, because you could be hurting their feelings if you said that they didn't actually look like a woman. A recent ruling in Dusseldorf saw police permitted to deny promotion to an officer who had changed his gender to female shortly before applying, apparently to boost his chances of advancement. So we're not just seeing this in prisons, we're also seeing this happen so that people can try and get a job. And of course, if you don't get the job and you've changed your gender, then you could sue the people for not giving you a job for being transphobic as well, as trying to take advantage of the DEI initiatives to get more women into the workforce. I mean, what do you make of these descriptions of the system they have over there in Germany, Grandpa?
I thought women had it much harder. So why is a guy making it a point to classify himself as a woman to better his chances of promotion? You always see their lies run in. You know, of course, these lies are just, you know, sloppy, so they're pretty easy to see, but it applies across the board. You watch the lies, and they're always going to run into contradictions because they're lies. So at some point in time, you know, if you're dealing with somebody that lies all the time, just let them keep talking, because eventually they're going to contradict themselves with their previous lies. So they tell us, you know, the people are told continually that, you know, oh, women have it so much harder. They have a harder time getting promoted just because of their gender, even though they're just disqualified. And yet they turn around here and you have a situation where somebody is classifying themselves as a woman to increase their chances of promotion. So the lie runs into a contradiction. And it's just, you know, you have this whole, the whole Western world is just run on lies. It's just a big lie factory. And they just keep, you know, well, what's the lie today? And eventually, like here, you see where the lies crash into one another, and they just act like, and it doesn't even slow them down. You know, they don't even stop and say, oh, wait, this isn't working. This is running contradictory to what we said before. We need to back it up and, you know, back up and do something else here. But they don't, they just keep pressing forward. With this guy on the run, I wonder if they're just going to let him stay on the run. You know, maybe it's like, it's going to be easier just to not catch him. Then maybe that's part of his angle. Maybe they're just going to decide it's going to get more and more sloppy. Let's just, you know, I mean, if the guy shows back up again, wearing his quasi Gestapo uniform and holding a rally, yeah, they'll probably go ahead and snatch him up. But as long as he keeps his mouth shut as far as in public and just kind of keeps drifting around, I think it's very possible that the authorities are going to just decide to let him keep being on the run so that they don't ultimately have to even deal with the issue.
I think it's funny how they've deliberately made it as hard as possible in order to reverse this. If somebody says that they are a tranny, they are a woman when they're actually a man, they literally made it as difficult as possible for people to overturn that, because their concern is about offending the feelings of the transgender person. But what about people like this person who are just going to take advantage of that? They really don't seem to have thought about that at all. And these laws, we actually tried to make use of them when I was in the magistrates' court. I didn't want my family name to come out and be in the newspapers when I was on trial. So we thought, well, what we would do is we would make use of this guidance where it says that they are not allowed to refer to you by a dead name, and they have to refer to you by your chosen pronouns and your chosen name. So we said, well, I identify as Sven Longshanks. And that's the name that I use for everything. And we can prove that's the name that I use for everything just by looking at my website. So would the court please refer to me by my family name rather? Would the court refer to me by my chosen name rather than by my family name? And they had a talk in chambers, and they had to talk in London. They had to talk off stage, and then they talked on stage with screens. And they decided that yes, this was perfect. This was how they should proceed. They should refer to the person in the dock by their chosen name, by their chosen pronouns. So they referred to me as Sven Longshanks, and I thought, ah, great, now the newspapers aren't going to report my family name. And they just put Sven Longshanks, a.k.a., and then put my family name there. So they dead-named me anyway. And then when it came to Crown Court, the judge that was there, he almost blew his top. Well, he did blow his top when he saw that he was going to be expected to refer to me as Mr. Longshanks. And he was, I'm not referring to you by that name. I'm not allowing you to propound your anti-Semitic bile on the public stage like this. And he was absolutely furious. And he referred to me by my family name rather than by my chosen name. So you can see there that they can pick and choose whether to go along with this guidance or whether to follow this law or not. I guess in Germany they are real sticklers for procedure. So they're sticking to this exactly. And they're saying, look, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to actually reverse this now that he's claimed to be a woman. And you're the guys that made the legislation. It's your fault if this is the problem. Getting back to the article here, the criminal defence lawyer and legal scholar Udo Vetter has argued on his blog that the council's legal position is legally untenable and that a favourable ruling would fundamentally transform how gender self-identification operates in Germany. Vetter contended that legislators deliberately designed the law to prevent registry offices from blocking applicants based on perceived insincerity, and Liebeck's previous attacks on transgender rights movements cannot serve as evidence of deception. So because he's gone to the registry offices and registered himself now as a woman, he has to be a woman on all the official documents, and they cannot undo that. They continue saying, should the Halle District Court approve the application from the Salikris, it would not just create Germany's first case of self-identification reversal, Vetter wrote, it would above all send out a signal that the self-identification law actually is subject to a material check against the explicit will of the people who made the law. So that is the point of this. The people that made the law, they didn't want people to be physically checked. It didn't want this to be subjective. Didn't want people to say, well, you don't actually look like a woman, so I can't change this to you being a woman. It was specifically written to prevent people from being able to do this. So this neo-Nazi transgender, he's a bit of a genius at exposing all this, I think. Grandpa, any thoughts on what the law expert has to say here?
Just a reminder, these same governments, if they go to war, expect people to go fight for them. When you really let that sink in, that, you know, I mean, it's a silly story, and yeah, obviously the law is stupid, and this guy's making a mockery, rightfully so, of it. Things that are foolish should be mocked. But as a serious background, all of these countries that do this sort of thing, they if they go to war, they expect you to go sign up. They go expect you to get in the line and go fight for them. They're having a bit of an uproar in Germany right now because, you know, they're talking about bringing back the draft because, oh, what a shock. Nobody's volunteering to sign up for the military. So they're talking about they're having protests and a certain amount of unrest, I believe, over it, because now they're talking about, you know, putting in the draft. And they're trying to ease it in and say, oh, well, it's going to be, it just if we need it. And young people, correctly so, are throwing a fit over it because who's going to go fight for this? If they get their wish and open hostilities break out with Russia, or their wish, they're doing this because they think it won't actually happen. But sometimes things don't go the way you think they will. And if that happened, these same people expect young men to go and put on the uniform and fight for them, because that's what you're fighting for. You're fighting for the government. You know, they with the multiculturalizing of these nations, they're no longer nations in the traditional sense, where people felt like, you know, they're fighting for their extended kin and their traditions and their way of life, where they could always get people to go join up. Now you're just going to go fight for the government. And who's going to do that? Who's going to go fight for this government in Germany or any of these Western countries, for that matter? You know, they're going to have a rope on this, where the system just destroys itself. You know, this is why legitimacy, and I guess I'm making a light topic more serious, but this is where the crisis of legitimacy I like to talk about comes into play, because it becomes illegitimate. At some point, they need the people to go along with it, and nobody's going to go along with it. This guy's not going along with it. He's making a mockery of it, rightfully so. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to at some point need people to join the military or to go along with some program they need to do to their agenda. And people just aren't going to do it. This guy's not going along with it. And you think this, you know, this is one guy not going along with just obediently going to prison. He's making a mockery of their own laws and their own rules they themselves have put into place. Now, if they ever have to enact a draft, nobody's going to go fight for that. Nobody's going to go put their lives on the line for this bunch of clowns. And yeah, rightfully so.
Well, I do like the way Dr. E. Michael Jones refers to it. He refers to America as the big gay disco. If anybody that is fighting out for that are fighting for the big gay disco. That is how America and the West is perceived by the rest of the world. When they see rainbow flags, when they see transgenders, when they see Rachel Levine, America's first transgender admiral, being made the health secretary, just being made an admiral as well. I think one of the things Donald Trump did was he overturned that law that encouraged transgenders into the military. I mean, can you just see what these transgenders would be like in the military, having to take their injections all the time, getting angry at being deadnamed, having to dilate themselves after the surgery? It's just ridiculous. And then you compare that to like Russia's army. I mean, you could even compare it to China's army, and I'm sure they're a little bit shorter, but I'm sure they have tough men in their army rather than transgenders, rather than promoting these transgender ideologies. So good on this German neo-Nazi for highlighting the ridiculousness of this law. I hope he manages to evade capture for as long as possible, and I hope he continues to be a thorn in the side of the German liberal establishment. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.